Well, that lovely lilting little tune serves as an introduction to my next guest, one of whom should be walking through the door momentarily, we hope, Rachel Greaves, who's chair of the Sherborne Chamber Choir. But sitting here already, getting his breath back, is Gawain Glenton, who leads Period Ensemble in Echo. And they will be joining forces on Saturday the 17th in Sherborne Abbey for a concert of music by three German Johanns. Now, that was from a CD. This is your ensemble's first ever CD, is it?
It's right, yes. It's the debut CD of my new ensemble that I launched last year called In Echo. And it's called Music in a Cold Climate. It's very topical. And it's what I wanted to do was to create an album of music that showed just how connected Europe was even 400 years ago, when there was, thanks to the Hanseatic League, this big trading empire that dominated trade across northern Europe, artists from England, from Denmark, northern Germany, Holland, were able to move from city to city, court to court, looking for employment.
Without any passports?
I'm not sure it was quite frictionless trade. I'm not sure the journeys are quite as comfortable as they might be now on the Eurostar. But if you had your letters of introduction from one count or duke or monarch to another, then you could arrive at the next court and say, this is me, I'm great, give me lots of work. And it really worked, and there were lots of interplay, it was a really big melting pot. So English composers used to rub up against Dutch and Danish musicians, and of course they had a shared language, and it's fantastic. So that's what this disc is all about, and it came out just last month, and it's really exciting.
Excellent. And now, was it through the Hanseatic League Dowland who went to work in?
That's right.
In the court of Denmark.
Yeah, he went.
Did he take advantage of?
Well, he went to work for Mr. Big, the King Christian IV, the Danish court. His court was a total magnet for all the best musicians, and Dowland saw a good earner on the horizon, and he went off, and he was one of the most highly paid people at the King's Court. And he was a really famous musician, and his tunes, things like his beautiful Lacrimae, were copied and imitated by other composers. It was a real sort of give and take, a lot of interchange between cultures. I don't know what's happening in the news that made me think of this, but it just seemed like a nice idea at the time when I came to build the album. So
I must say, talking of Dowland, you haven't got any of his music on this CD, have you?
No, but there's arrangements of his music. So Dowland doesn't appear directly, but his Lacrimae, that was one of the big hits of the early 17th century, there's an arrangement of it there by the wonderfully named Melchior Schilt, who is a keyboard player. And he wrote this beautiful harpsichord arrangement of the Lacrimae tune. And then the last track is me playing with this with a lovely organ in a version of the same tune by Johann Schopp. There are lots of Johanns. But yes, so Dowland was a real big inspiration.
I must say, every time I hear his music being played, I think they must have enjoyed being really gloomy in those days.
Well,
it's quite melancholy stuff.
Right.
Isn't
it's the same
it?
Now. I mean, everyone likes a nice a sad song, doesn't it? I mean, the sad songs, you know, it gets everyone worked up in a very nice way. There was this culture of people used to revel in this melancholy, and I think we still do today, don't we? You know, we listen to a sad song or a slow dance or a nice weepy movie. We're all suckers for the same sort of ideas, I think.
And there are just five of you in Echo, is that right?
Well, I think there ended up being seven or eight of us performing on the CD. But yeah, we're quite a compact chamber group. So, and what I wanted to do, because I play a funny old instrument called a cornetto that has no modern equivalent. It's a wind instrument with a mouthpiece like a trumpet, but finger holes like a recorder. It's very strange. It sounds extremely beautiful. And if you're really curious, you should come to hear the concert on March 17th. But it used to be used a lot in consort with trombones, and I work a lot in consort means working with instruments of the same family. So you have a really homogeneous sound. But with this ensemble, I tried to break away from that. So the ensemble is violin, cornetto, trombone, viola da gamba, and organ or harpsichord. So you get really different sounds. So rather than having the real blend that you might get from a unified group, with this group you get every voice is really clear in a really distinctive way, and I really like it. So
lovely. Where do you all rehearse? I mean, you're not all based Sherborne based, are you?
No. Well, actually, we're really lucky. I mean, Margaret Phillips over in Milbourne Port has this amazing organ museum and organ school, She's got a whole collection of organs, instruments, harpsichords, and she's got the most wonderful instruments that are really perfect for the kind of music we do. So actually, we sometimes try and rehearse there whenever we can. So it's, yeah, we're really lucky. But but sometimes we rehearse. Well, we sometimes needs must, and we have to rehearse at the other end of the country. So when we have to.
Will you have a rehearsal in the Abbey before the concert? Presumably will you?
No, we're rehearsing in Millbourne Port the day before. That's, I'm afraid that's going to be a private. Well, yeah, we'll just be doing our thing on the previous evening.
Rachel has just walked in and joined us. So now this concert, it's a music by three Johanns, as Johann Sebastian Bach, Johann Christoph Bach, and Johann Pachelbel. Now, I think that for a family that was full of geniuses, the Bachs, and imagination, they weren't very imaginative about the choice of names for their male offspring, were they? I mean, there's several Johann Christophs.
There
it's
are.
It's very confusing. It's Which
very
one is this?
It's very confusing. This one is
on the spot.
Yeah, cousin of J.S. Bach, once removed. I think that's correct. So there was Bach had an elder brother called Johann Christoph, a great uncle, and then this cousin as well. I think that's it.
This is now. Is this the cousin who actually was taught at one stage by Pachelbel? Because they were all friends, weren't they?
They were all friends, yeah. They were certainly family friends. And Pachelbel, I think, was godfather to Bach's elder sister, something like that. So there are all sorts of little tales of various connections. And Pachelbel, I think, taught Bach's elder brother. And actually it was Bach's elder brother who taught J.S. Bach the organ. So there's a direct connection.
Because it was a very, very large family.
It was a large family as well, yes.
They must have got confused. And which Johann Christoph are you?
Mm-hmm. And then there's Johann Christian Bach as well. Johann Christian Bach. Further down the line. And that's another J.C. Bach. Very, very confusing.
Now, Pachelbel is one of those composers who's kind of rather got forgotten apart from one work.
Yes.
The famous canon in...
Yes, indeed. The infamous
Infamous to you, is it?
No. Poor Pachelbel. It's a shame. There's so much music out there. And
so you and Paul Ellis then and the Chamber Choir, you've decided to try and stand up for Pachelbel and have some of his other works.
With Gawain's help, I have to say, he's the one who discovers all these lovely pieces for us to sing. But we're very pleased to be... hopefully, redressing the balance a bit.
It's really fantastic music.
Great music.
There's much more to Pachelbel than the canon. So yeah, it's really rich pickings. If you want to go delving in, you know, the names might not, the composer names might not trip off the tongue, but the music's so tuneful, it's so appealing. And if you don't know it, you can. You should come along.
I did play it in for a treat.
I mean.
I did play something of his at the beginning of the programme, one of the works that you will be singing. He was an organist as well, though, wasn't he?
Yes, wrote lots of organ music, actually.
Just like Bach.
But when you start to write the programme notes for these concerts, you discover so much. Yes, lots of fugues, chorales, lots of organ music.
And do you write, Rachel, the programme notes?
I have been known to. Some of them.
So now, will this be the first time that the Chamber Choir and In Echo have performed together?
No, it'll be the second outing. We did a concert, was it 2 years, 2.5 years ago?
December 2015.
We did a big German Christmas shebang with lots of tunes like Dulce Jubilo and all these sort of things in the Abbey with trumpets and all this marvellous stuff, so...
So yeah. I have heard you because you had those natural trumpets, didn't
That's
you?
That's right.
I was very impressed with the
timpani. They were from the back.
Standing there, one hand on hip.
That's right.
Yes. Just holding the instrument with the other hand. I thought
that's
right. Very, very
because we got a gang of natural trumpets that did the real deal because they played the trumpet in the 17th century didn't have any key, didn't have any keys or valves like you have on a modern trumpet. So every time you want to change note, it's just with the embouchure. And it's astronomically difficult. There are very few people that could do it. But I brought a gang of them along that day, and they sounded fantastic, I thought. So.
Now, did I see you walking in with a musical instrument?
Oh, no, I don't think that must have been a mistake. Well,
it's an optical illusion, was it? Well, Rachel can see it as well, so that makes two of us. So what have you brought in?
Well, I can... Showing a cornet, showing an instrument on the radio may not be the best.
Well, we can describe
piece
it, can't
of entertainment.
We?
But so yes, this is the instrument.
Me.
This is the curious instrument that I've.
It looks
chosen.
Like a piece of bent wood.
It looks like a piece like a black bent banana or a stick of licorice.
A rather long one, though. That's right. Yes, what is it? A couple of feet long, or
yeah, I mean
70 centimeters.
About that. Well, it is a soprano. Really, it plays. It looks like nothing, and it is so low tech, but it was the most popular wind instrument for about 250 years because it was incredibly flexible.
At what period was that then?
From about 1500 or the late, say, the 1470s through to Bach's time, after which it began to really sort of fade out, and it got overtaken by newfangled instruments like the oboe and things like this. And it has no modern equivalent, so it isn't an early anything. It is what it is.
How fascinating.
It has a tiny mouthpiece that is exactly the same idea as a trumpet or a trombone, as a brass mouthpiece. So you buzz down it.
It is very small, isn't it?
But it's made out of horn.
A couple of centimetres across, made out of horn.
And it's so small that that gives the sound a real brightness to it.
Are you going to demonstrate?
Well,
go on,
maybe.
Blow us.
And it has finger holes like a recorder.
Right.
So rather than on a trumpet, you have these sort of harmonic series with these finger holes. It's just like a recorder. If you want to go up a note, you just lift up a finger.
So
you can be very virtuosic.
If you can play the recorder, you can play this.
Basically, if you can make a noise out of a brass instrument and you can play a recorder, then you can have a go with this. More people should. It's fantastic. And it's lots of fun because one of the reasons I was drawn to it, I used to play modern instruments in modern orchestras. But in the 17th century and 16th century, musicians had so much freedom to improvise and ornament and really make every piece their own. That sort of suited me down to the ground. So I would have been a really useless orchestral player being told what to do. I would have lasted 5 minutes.
You'd have rebelled.
So I saw that. I had enough self-knowledge to realise not to go down that route. Beautiful though the orchestral music is, this was really, you know, the kind of music making that I really wanted to do. So, yeah.
Go on then, let's hear something.
Oh, well, it's worth bearing in mind, this is going to sound horrendous.
Even if it's just
this,
the
in
scale.
This, in the studio. This instrument is really built to sound wonderful in big acoustics.
It likes a lot of resonance.
In a cathedral church, the sound just goes right to the back and is super clear. This room's not quite got the acoustics of St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice.
We'll just try and imagine it.
Oh, dear. Put me on the spot. Or something.
I sort of get the idea as to what you mean. I can hear that would sound fabulous in a church. It would sound very nice in the Abbey, won't it, Rachel?
It will sound lovely.
It was a huge
success
because it was considered to be the instrument that could imitate the human voice better than anything else.
Well, now, does Rachel agree with that?
I do.
Well, I think
yes.
Rachel should sing, and then we can see.
Now you're putting her on the spot. She sings with a choir.
Yes, and only with a choir.
But no, it's a fantastic thing, and the Abbey acoustic will really suit it.
Well, I think this sounds lovely. I just want to play one other little thing, which from your CD before we play something that you've brought in. A Bach cantata, which is one of the works that you're going to be singing. Now, this one is from your CD, Music in a Cold Climate, not Love in a Cold Climate, Music in a Cold Climate. This is, I translate it, a Scottish dance.
That's right.
Go on, you say it.
Ein Schottisch Tanz by William Braid.
Here we are then.
Thank you.
Well, there we are. That was Ein schottischer Tanz.
Genau.
You speak German?
Ein kleines bisschen.
Oh, that's about, no, now you put me on the spot.
I don't
know. That's about it. I've got to. I can order beer and I can get through rehearsals in German.
Well, I failed that's my German low level.
Philosophical conversation, not so much. But,
now, Rachel, are any of these, are all these works, since they're sacred works, they're all in Latin?
They're in German.
They're all in German?
They are in German, yes. So
how's your German?
For singing, it's okay. I don't speak German, but I can read it reasonably well.
Lovely. So just give us a quick rundown of what the programme's going to cover.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Bach cantata. It's quite an early Bach cantata, which has got two recorders with it.
Absolutely
and two
beautiful.
Vials.
Lots of people's, I mean, everyone has their favourite Bach cantata, but this is lots of people's real favourite opening. It's a beautiful thing.
It's really lovely, and I think written when he was about 22, so tis an early one. And then one of the motets, so the choir's doing that on its own, just, well, with an organ and continuo part. We've got a Pachelbel motet, which I think is possibly, I think that's the piece you played earlier on. And we're going to finish with a Pachelbel cantata. So that's a bit of a longer work. And then some instrumental music from In Echo. And Paul is also going to play some Bach on the big organ.
So he's going to trot up into the organ
he's
loft
going to
and do that.
Trot then, up yes. into the organ loft, yes.
And, play and then Bach. Rush down again and conduct
yes,
you.
Yes.
And it's all music from Easter time, really. So you have these sort of sorrowful Easter sort of lamenting cantatas. But it all ends with a nice upbeat Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
You want that, don't you? Yes. And this is all music for Lent and Easter.
Lent and Easter, yeah. So we work our way through, really.
You're calling it Passion and Glory.
And Glory,
which is a great title for a concert.
I'm glad you like the title. Yes, there was a lot of discussion about the title, so I'm glad you like it.
No, I think it's a very good one. And tell me, Gawain, do you, since it's just you're just an ensemble of five people, you don't have a conductor then, do you? So, I mean, how do you take to being
directed? When we do our instrumental programmes, we don't have conductors, no, because we sort of thrive on that kind of musicianship. It's like we're all leaders, and we're all able to really push it forward.
But something like this concert,
but something like this, when you have 40 singers, then yes, you need someone to keep us all in check.
We definitely need somebody.
Paul's very very adept at doing so. Yes,
yes, quite strict.
Well, Jenny knows this.
What? Yes. Sit there quaking in the back row. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a lovely concert. I'm coming along to it, so
fantastic.
Great. I shall look forward to it. And let's have a bit then of this Bach, the Cantata BWV 106, to play us out.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a pretty good cracking pace, isn't it, Rachel? You're taking it at that pace?
More or less, yes.
Well, now, you just wanted to say one other thing, didn't you, before?
Yes, just to say that the tickets are on sale at the Tourist Information Centre in Sherborne on Digby Road, and they're priced £5 to £20, so you can take your pick you want to pay, and under 18s are free of charge.
And this is Saturday the 17th in the Abbey at 7:30. Well, thank you both very much indeed.
Thanks,
Rachel
Jenny.
Greaves and Garwin Glenton.
Thanks for having us.
And I shall look forward to coming along and hearing the concert.